E.T. Phone Home.
I'm just having some brewski beers in my Mojo Dojo Casa house.
Wendy, I'm home.
There's no place like home.
Welcome to the House of Cinema podcast. I am your host, Joe Aragon. With me today, Sydney Volpe. And in the house today, it is time to discuss Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire. Is it Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla and Kong? What do you say?
Okay, I just read a post about this because I always thought it was Godzilla X Kong. But then on Letterboxd, I started using the fake poster of them like being in love. And it said Godzilla and Kong, like Godzilla ampersand Kong. But then apparently some people are saying it's meant to be said like Godzilla Kong.
Oh, okay.
I say Godzilla X Kong.
I like Godzilla X Kong as well. We'll stick with that for continuity's sake for this particular episode. But we have seen it, the latest entry in the MonsterVerse franchise, a movie that has made a lot of money already this past weekend. I have so many things to kind of discuss with you. Before we jump into that, how are you doing? How are things over in MonsterVerse land for you?
Oh, well, things are good. Very good, actually, because this was kind of the first time that I really dove into the MonsterVerse. Like, I hadn't seen, I forget which one. Oh, I had never seen Godzilla versus Kong. So I watched through all of the movies. I watched that movie. And I had fun. This is going to be fun.
You've been kind of going ham on the watches lately. You've been logging on Letterboxd like crazy.
I have. Sometimes I get into a bit of a trance where I just really want to watch movies. And I kind of just let myself do it. Because yeah. I'll come out of it. But I also watched like the classic Kong movie from the 30s. I rewatched Peter Jackson's Kong. It's been a journey. But are you a fan of the MonsterVerse?
I don't know. We gotta put me on the spot like that already.
Oh,
like,
sorry.
Come on. We're just starting so far. I wouldn't say I'm not a fan. I would say there are certain movies in this MonsterVerse franchise that I do really enjoy. I like Godzilla 2014, and I think you and I are kind of Kong Skull Island truthers.
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't say, though, like I'm a huge fan of Godzilla King of the Monsters, and then Godzilla versus Kong, I liked for what it was, and then I have really mixed feelings on Godzilla X Kong, which we'll get into today. So It's a tough franchise because there's only like, you know, five or six movies. Not enough for me to say like I despise the franchise, but I do look forward to every new entry. I guess we're kind of missing one other piece of media, and that's Monarch Legacy of Monsters, the Apple TV show, which, have you watched that at all?
No, I haven't, but I hear such great things about it.
Most people who are like really into this franchise that I've spoken to speak very highly of that show, and that's like the best piece of, you know, TV or movie in the franchise so far. I've only seen like the first two or three episodes, which I enjoyed. But I have not watched the rest of it, so I really can't comment on it.
Monarch, didn't they preview one or two of the episodes at some festival we were at?
That sounds familiar.
Fantastic Fest, maybe?
I don't know. I can't remember exactly. I know that, like,
it's all blurs together.
The MonsterVerse fans like it, and that's what matters. But
right. It
does make me more interested in checking it out because, you know, it is a TV show, so naturally the budget's going to be a lot lower than something like Godzilla X Kong, but if it's resonating with people, I wonder if it's, you know, for story reasons. And that's kind of hint what I'm missing out of these movies that we're getting recently.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to check it out eventually. I say that now. Will I ever? Who knows? That's a different question for a different day, I suppose. Before we jump into Godzilla X Kong, A New Empire, a traditional disclaimer for this podcast, we will be discussing spoilers. If you're looking for a spoiler-free version, then maybe hold out until you've seen the movie, or maybe if you don't care, press on. But we will discuss spoilers. Here's your IMDb summary for those who are unaware of what's going on in the monster universe. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. Currently in Rotten Tomatoes, the consensus reads, "Come to Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire for the sheer monster-mashing spectacle, and stay for that too, because the movie doesn't have much else to offer."
Woof.
Whoa. A little bit
harsh.
Of some shade being thrown here. Critic score, 55%. Audience score, 92%.
Wow.
Does this surprise you at all?
Honestly, if you had asked me the night I saw it, yes. But since then, man, Joe, people love these movies. I mean, look how much money it's made. It got like an A- cinema score. That shocked me for sure. But I will say, I think what these movies have going for them is that they give you exactly what they're advertised as.
Do you really think that, though? Because I almost believe that's not the case for this particular movie.
Oh, interesting. Well, because I feel like, I mean, we'll talk about the franchise as a whole, but I do feel like since Godzilla versus Kong and seeing the trailer for this one, it became kind of clear to me that, like, this is where we're at now. Mm-hmm. And if we get movies in the future, they're going to kind of stick to this same tone.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I don't know. I almost was not super outspoken about, I was really excited to do the podcast and kind of waiting to share my thoughts because I didn't love it. And I was actually shocked. It's like the most polarizing movie of the year.
Yeah, it so really far. Is. Of all the movies to be polarizing, I did not expect Godzilla X Kong to be the one that brings up the most discussion. But, you know, you said something interesting, and that was people love this franchise. And I kind of want to break that down further. Do they love this franchise because of, you know, the legacy of Godzilla and Kong going back, you know, 50, 60 years? Do they love this franchise simply because it is this kind of big monsters beat each other up? What is it about this franchise that is like attracting people?
I think that is the eternal debate. I think it is the crux of this entire thing. Do you want more, or are you going to be like, you know, you get, if you say you don't like something like this, you're bound to get comments like, just turn your brain off. Like, mm-hmm. it's just a popcorn movie, whatever. It is kind of that difference between being able to just enjoy, like, kind of, are you laughing at it, or are you laughing with it? And I think the reason why I didn't love Godzilla, like, I genuinely like Godzilla versus Kong.
I
think
too.
That movie has a little juice.
I honestly think it does as well. We agree on that.
It does. But even watching that movie, I was like, I do not think I could rate this because I don't think there is anything else that exists in the American cinematic landscape that is like this, that is so stupid but is also so fun at this colossal scale. And then once we got to Godzilla X Kong, I was like, I feel like they're losing me. Like, I feel like this is the make or break point for people who are watching. If you love it, you're really going to love it because you're just sold on the whole thing, you know?
Yeah. You make a lot of good points. I do wonder if, like, the turn your brain off, it's a popcorn movie. Not to say, like, old Godzilla didn't have that. I mean, the whole Showa era of Godzilla fighting like a gallery of villains happened for so long. I mean, the Japanese Toho version went through this exact phase. The American version is just kind of fast forwarded to this moment.
Right.
We never really got our like deep metaphorical, allegorical Godzilla. 2014 has its moments, but I don't think it's, you know, it's not like minus one. It's not like Shin Godzilla. It's not like the original Godzilla. But I'm a little shocked by the amount of people who are like, yeah, it's a lot of fun, which I don't disagree. It's a lot of fun. I did find it a lot less fun than something like Godzilla versus Kong, in which I did feel like brought a feeling, an energy to it that made those fight scenes and those like kind of ridiculous premises more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Godzilla X Kong, I don't know. They didn't capitalize on that same energy. I feel like it felt a little sauceless at times. But we'll get into more of the movie itself. I kind of want to contextualize Godzilla X Kong further in the MonsterVerse.
Okay.
Godzilla versus Kong critic score, 76%. Audience score, 91%. So almost identical reaction from the audience and a much more positive response from the critics. So we're not completely off base in kind of our...
We're such critics.
We're such critics. I know. We're such critics. But we're not off base in our kind of discussion on it being maybe a more balanced movie. Godzilla, King of the Monsters, 42% critic score. Audience score, 83%. Still a very high audience score.
Critic score is lower than I would think.
Pretty low. Kong Skull Island, critic score, 76%. Audience score, 69%. This is so far the weakest audience score.
We gotta
for
get
movies.
Those numbers up, guys.
What's going on? I don't know why people don't like this movie.
I don't know either. And I slapped this with the 4 stars on Letterboxd, and I got some good support.
Yeah.
But man, yeah, people don't people don't like it. I think it's the best one.
Do you think it's because Godzilla is absent?
Maybe. There are a lot of Godzilla. And so I always say, like, I'm a Kong girly. I do. I like King Kong. And I like King Kong in the Monsterverse. I think he shines a lot more than Godzilla in the Monsterverse, which I will talk about.
Yeah.
But I do mean within the context of the Monsterverse. Like, Godzilla is such an iconic character. But yeah, people, because I think people love the Titan lore, and I think that's something that people really love to see play out in the Monsterverse films. I'm not personally, like, looking for that when I mm-hmm. watch these films, but I totally get why someone would watch, you know, King of the Monsters. Like, I did a ranking of the Monsterverse on TikTok, and I put King of the Monsters in last. Man, there are some shooters for that movie. They love it.
I am not shocked by that. I've said before, I believe, on social media, whether that be TikTok or Twitter, that King of the Monsters is by far the weakest of the Monsterverse movies. Mm-hmm. And the amount of people who just push back on that simply because that movie has Ghidorah in it, and that movie has Rodan in it, and Mothra, and, like, mixes all of the lore, maybe the most out of any of these movies.
Right.
That's enough to kind of blind anybody from saying the movie is bad. You know, and if you like the movie, I'm not saying you're crazy for liking it, but I do think the kind of fan service in that movie does tend to sway a lot of opinion on that movie.
Yes. And I get it. You know, everyone has that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I mean, if I love the Godzilla lore as much as some people, I'm sure I would also kind of really dig that movie. But
yeah, for sure.
It does feel like the most hollow. Hollow mm-hmm. Earth, maybe? I don't know.
Oh. The subterranean realm?
Godzilla 2014, which is canon to the Monsterverse, that is the Gareth Edwards version. It feels the most removed out of all of these movies, for sure. Yeah. But that movie has a critic score of 76% and an audience score of 66%. Whoa. That is the lowest audience score in the Monsterverse franchise, but it is tied for the highest score in the critic score, on the critic side of things, the Monsterverse franchise. Kind of a, you know, interesting franchise here. Like, the audience scores tend to go up as the movies get more outrageous and belligerent, and the critic scores tend to go down. Is that shocking to you?
This is like looking at them all grouped together. We made that joke about it being the most consistent franchise because it's consistently mid. But, like, there's no one really good Monsterverse movie where critics and audiences agreed. That's kind of fascinating.
It is fascinating.
It's a fascinating franchise.
The only franchise that it reminds me of at this point, can you guess what I'm thinking about?
In terms of, like, scores and reception?
In terms of scores and reception and kind of the overall consensus from audiences and critics.
Ghostbusters?
That's a good one to compare it to. I would argue, though, I mean, Ghostbusters at least has one movie where both critics and audiences are like, yeah, this movie rules. The only franchise that this Monsterverse is, I feel like, is turning into a little bit is the Fast and Furious franchise.
Oh, shit.
In the way that,
like, you're so right.
It has a couple of, you know, stronger movies that audiences and critics tend to like. But as they continue to go on with their story, they're getting more and more ridiculous, kind of leaning into the goofy aspect, the outrageous aspect of it. And now critics are starting to check out a little bit, but audiences are still going riding pretty hard for this.
Wow, that's such a good comparison. Yeah, I mean, I do think they've kind of gone off the deep end, and they're going to lose some people, but I think it also allows them a sort of freedom. Like, you could just make a million of them.
Yeah, and we'll talk about the future for this franchise and whether or not we're excited for it and what they could do to maybe pull back in some of the critics or the audience that's kind of tired of the turn off your brain mentality. But we'll talk about that later. Godzilla X Kong, I need to know your initial reaction going into the theater and walking out of theater. What was your theater experience like? Was it a packed theater? Give me some deets.
I'm curious to hear about yours too, but I had the opportunity to see this film early at a screening on the Tuesday before it came out, and it was hard because I love going to early screenings, but I actually chose not to see it early so that I could see it with friends on Thursday, and that was a great decision because I did feel like I had a good idea of what it was going to be at that point. Like, you had seen it, I heard early reactions. And it was a ton of fun. Like, we saw it at the Alamo. We all, like, you know, it was like a I don't want to say the movie was like the delicious garbage category, but like we were like laughing at it. Like every time a silly needle drop would happen, we would all like chuckle and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the experience that I was hoping to have in preparing for. But it did feel like we were kind of the only ones reacting that way at certain times. And you said, so you saw this with the director.
Okay, well, before I get into my experience, I want to kind of go back to yours for 1 second.
Okay.
Two questions. What was your Alamo order for the night?
Oh, good question. I got my classic. I got the chicken tendies and I got a cookie shake. And I had one mozzarella stick.
The Sydney Volpe special. Very nice. Very nice. Second question. I find that watching movies at the Alamo, which I like to do, I'm not bashing the Alamo, but I do find the audiences at the Alamo are less energetic than if I were to go to like an AMC or an Edwards or Cinemark.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if it's just like the Alamo experience because people are there, they're locked and loaded with their food, they kind of want to relax and watch the movie. And so because of that, the cheering isn't as excessive or as energetic. Do you feel that way at all?
Yes, I think that's true. I think it's, I don't want to say it's a trade-off you're making. Like, I think Alamo is almost always the better option just because audiences are more respectful, especially with a lot of the crazy stories we're hearing lately. But I also feel like the crowd is just a little older. Okay. Like it's not really a chain. I feel like it's not like a super popular chain for young kids who are seeing it with their friends. I don't want to say families. I feel like a lot of families go to the Alamo. But yeah, I feel like the crowd is just different. It's like made for like movie lovers.
Okay. That's kind of my segue into the theater that I saw, which is not a big theater at all in the sense like it's a chain. It was a smaller independent theater, but it's a big LA organization. They schedule all these fun movie screenings, and a lot of times they're able to get talent, directors, writers to do Q&As after. So I did see Godzilla X Kong in that theater. It was packed. The line was so long.
Whoa.
Fortunately, I had reservations and I was able to get in and get a seat.
Nice.
But like you could go early and just wait in line, hopefully to get in, and like craziness. The amount of people who showed up to watch Godzilla X Kong was wild. And so people were dressing up, people wearing costumes, wearing t-shirts. It was like a whole, like, I kind of was shocked by the amount of people who were there, not just to watch the movie, but they were there to like celebrate the MonsterVerse. They were pumped to be there. And it made me realize, yeah, this is a very popular franchise, and I'm kind of underestimating it at this point. But so I sat in my seat, movie started, and about like 10 minutes into the movie, this guy with a scraggly beard and scraggly hair sat right in front of me. And I was like, oh, that's the director. He sat right in front of me because he was doing a Q&A after the movie. And he kind of like sat in his seat in front of me and he slid and slumped down real low. I don't know if he was like trying to hide so people don't realize it was him or if he was a little tired that day. But he slumped down real low and he just watched the entire movie in front of me. So that was interesting for sure.
Did you say, I love your next?
I did not want to interrupt him during the movie, but I really wanted to tell him how much I love your next and the guest, but I'm
Where
sure he
Sharni
knows.
Where did Sharni Vinson go? Release her.
I know. Bring back Sharni Vinson, please. So it was fun being in that theater, though, because I was clearly amongst a crowd of people who were just diehard fans of the franchise. And I talked to a lot of people around me who were just like, I can't wait. I just want it to be silly and dumb and fun, and I cannot wait for it. And
did
and
you go alone?
No, I went with one of my friends, and he was really excited to go as well, and he liked the MonsterVerse, but maybe wasn't like a diehard fan, but still had a good time watching it.
Okay.
This is kind of a question that's not maybe related to the movie, but I don't know if we've ever really picked our brains about it, but do you think experiences like that where you're in theaters where everybody's just hyped out of the wazoo affects your overall rating of a movie or experience with it?
I do. I really do. And it was, like Joe texted me after having that experience. He was like, that was like, I just had the experience you had with Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Because Roadhouse, it was like, man, people were losing it over that movie. And it does, like, I feel like that does impact. I mean, you can say what you like, make this argument also for really just like anything you read about a movie online. I try not to like read other people's reviews before I review a movie because it really can impact you know, what you think of it. But I do think that that theater experience, just feeling like, you know, if I saw this in a movie theater, I was like completely alone versus or, you know, at home on a small screen versus seeing it in like a really hyped crowd. I think it can make a difference. I don't think it always makes a difference. Do you?
Okay. No. I think you said it perfectly in that there's a very good chance it can make a difference. Especially we've talked ad nauseum about how film festivals can really shape your initial reaction to a movie. And maybe when you rewatch it at a later date, it kind of, you're maybe a little bit more numb to it, or it's not as good. It lost a little bit of its shine, and that does happen. But I do think that being in a very enthusiastic theater, and that doesn't mean they need to be like shouting and cheering,
right?
But people who are clearly very attentive, and you can just kind of feel the energy. Both times I saw Dune Part Two, I could just feel people being excited, and that made me excited to be there. Whether or not that shaped my overall rating of the movie, you know, I think to some extent it always does, for sure. But you know, I don't think that's a bad thing either, though.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, the movies like this are designed to be seen, you know, on the big screen in the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of it.
All right, anyway, that was a quick diversion. We'll go back to Godzilla X Kong now. My first question to you, and this has been a rumor on Twitter, is this a glorified Godzilla cameo? There are rumors that this was initially supposed to be a Kong movie only. And then the studio was like, no, we need Godzilla in there as well. So they kind of threw Godzilla in as well. After watching the movie, how do you feel about those rumors that this was potentially a Kong-only movie?
Dude, I had not heard that. And it's an interesting theory because, I mean, I've seen some contentious debates about it. Some people saying that Godzilla is kind of, just kind of like a side character and he doesn't get the kind of development that Kong does. I do think it's interesting because Godzilla is supposed to be like this intimidating figure, maybe more so than Kong. So it's kind of harder to give him a personality like that. Where Kong, you know, they're making him fucking like depressed and like he just wants like friends and it's adorable. I will say though, I need to give him a toothache. Like he's baby.
The entire problem Kong has for the first 30 minutes of the movie is that his tooth hurts and he needs to get it extracted.
His teepees.
Poor teepees.
But I will give cuteness points to Godzilla. I have to mention this now so that it gets mentioned. Him cuddling up and sleeping in the Colosseum is like the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. He's kind of like a cat. It's like a cat and a dog.
He is very much like a cat. Oh yeah, it's a good comparison.
Yeah,
Kong is the dog and Godzilla is the cat. What's the best part about Godzilla sleeping inside the Colosseum all curled up was the fact that at the end of the movie he goes back to the Colosseum to go back to sleep.
Yeah,
that's my favorite part.
I know, and him, I've been to the Colosseum, dude. It's not that big. And at one point in the movie, my friend just turns to me. We'll talk about this. But he just goes, how big are they? Because it's like they're a different size in like every single scene.
Maybe this is the perfect time to talk about it. There is complaint, and I think this is a complaint of mine as well, is that Adam Wingard, as good of a director as he is in certain ways, maybe doesn't handle scale the best. And this was a criticism the movie had going into it, you know, when we saw the trailers, when Godzilla and Kong had like started running in the Hollowed Earth area. There's really no concept of how big they are. You don't get this feeling that they're just this ginormous mammoth creatures. There's never a moment where we're like, whoa, that's a big, big dude, you know? And Gareth Edwards, Godzilla 2014, I get that feeling. Whoa, that's a big fucking lizard. At any point in this movie, do you feel that way?
I think that is also the difference for me between this and Godzilla versus Kong, is there were a few scenes in that where I really felt like that massive scale. And I felt like the destruction that they were causing and like there were actually still some stakes left. But yeah, here it just feels like, you know, we're at this point. I guess the role that Godzilla plays in this film is he's kind of protecting the surface world. He's fighting off Titans. We know he and Kong don't like each other. Eventually, they meet. And then the rest of the movie happens. But I just feel like we're seeing all this destruction and it doesn't mean anything. It's kind of just like to present information rather than like putting us inside the experience of like being a person who lives in this world where this has happened. I mean, do you know how, like, I was watching the movie. I was like, this is kind of fucking insane that there are just titans killing millions of people all over the earth.
Like weekly?
Yeah. And we're kind of just, you know, one of the running jokes my friends and I had, I watched Godzilla versus Kong with them the week before. And we see Godzilla like tear through a city and the news caption reads, 8 dead. And it seemed like such a low number. So every time we see them just like crushing buildings, we're like, 2 dead. But hey, there's so much destruction happening and it just really just doesn't feel like it. And so, yeah. And then in addition to that, we have them being in Hollow Earth or like the subterranean realm or whatever the fuck. And now the camera, like the perspective is kind of shifting so that we are at their size. Mm-hmm. So they feel normal sized in Hollow Earth. And then you get back to above Earth and they're supposed to feel big. Yeah. Was that your experience with it? That there wasn't consistency or you just felt like there wasn't that sense of spectacle?
I don't think that spectacle was there at all in this one. Even in the scene where Godzilla and Kong fight at the pyramids, which is like the Ooh. One scene where I feel like we should have really felt their scale because we're all very familiar with the pyramids. Whether we've been there or not, we understand that they're very big structures. But in that fight scene, I still don't get that sense of scale. You know, we do praise Gareth Edwards for whether that be the creator or Godzilla 2014 for his ability to really showcase that. And I feel like that is definitely something that's missing from Godzilla X Kong. Mm. Godzilla versus Kong, I think I also can remember, now I didn't rewatch it recently, but I can remember certain moments feeling like these are big old dudes fighting in Japan or wherever they're at.
Right.
But, you know, I didn't really feel like that completely took me out of the movie. You know, they're still big old monsters fighting and I still enjoyed it, but I do wish I had that sense of awe. And I do feel like that was missing a lot.
Well, I just have a question for you in that sense, I guess, and how much you think, because I know you have opinions on this, like how much do you think that relates to the human monster balance? Because I feel like so much of the scale you're able to capture through like the human experience, but they're not present through a lot of that.
The human monster balance is kind of my biggest gripe with the movie, among many things. But you know, we talked about, like, does this franchise recognize what it is? You know, is it just this franchise of big monsters beating on each other? And if that's the case, I feel like Godzilla X Kong, surprisingly slow. Like, all honesty, I think I clocked it at, like, it takes about 40 to almost an hour until Godzilla X Kong and Kong finally meet.
Oh, shit.
Which is kind of a long time for a movie that's promising you, like, hey, these two guys, they got to team up to save the world. And I was mm-hmm. kind of shocked by how much of the movie is spent with like Godzilla trying to like level up a bunch before he eventually meets up with Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time instead is spent with Rebecca Hall and Dan Stevens and Brian Tyree Henry, all actors I adore and love. But we spend so much time with them as they are like trying to uncover the mysteries of Hollowed Earth and like the backstories of all these different characters. And we get a secret, these tribe of people living in Hollowed Earth and right. Mothra comes back, which, you know, hey, I'm a big Mothra fan. So I was excited to see her come back, but there was so much exposition and I feel so bad for Rebecca Hall because I feel like every single line she delivers was some form of exposition. Like everything she was saying was her explaining the backstory of all of these monsters.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by how much of that was happening when I was like, I honestly do not care. I want to see Scar King fight all these people. And, you know, I feel bad for Shimo, the ice turtle. Because it seems like a cool monster, not a very cool story. We just kind of see Shimo and then Shimo is there for the last 15 minutes of the movie. I don't think that was a very cool way to use someone like Shimo.
Fair.
It doesn't feel like they even know what they want to do with the story. Like, do they want to make this like a heavy lore story, or do they want to make him a Rock'em Sock'em Titan movie? It feels like they're trying to do both, and it's not working for me. Does it work for you?
I think you just hit the nail on the head. Like, that is, I really over the weekend was thinking, like, why am I not clicking with this? Because everyone's talking about it as like this tribute to the Showa era, and they're trying to bring elements of that in. And I've dabbled in the Showa era Godzilla films. I didn't grow up with them. I'm not an expert on them or anything. But I watch them, I'm like, I don't know. Is it? Like, mm-hmm. The Showa era films, yes, they're silly and goofy. It's not like you're always getting the richest story in the world, and so much of it is like just big monsters fighting. But when you watch it, you're like appreciating like the stop motion, the craftsmanship. And I think above all else, the story is typically pretty simple. And yeah. In Godzilla X Kong, I'm like, dude, you could have made like at least 3 movies out of what is going on here. And I think that just does detract from the experience for me. I mean, I like all the elements on paper, but the execution is just super exhausting. Like, yeah. these movies move at lightning pace, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, we do not care. Like, I show me the monsters fighting, or let me live in this like magical realm. But every single line of dialogue is being reduced to communicating information to me so I can follow what the hell is going on. And it just detracts from the entire experience. So yeah, I don't know. It I think there is like a human monster balance thing going on that I don't know if we can do Showa era. Like, can't yeah. we go back? Can we, like, that's the thing. Is I'm like, I want to go back to Kong Skull Island. I want to go back to Godzilla 2014, where it feels like every scene was created with care and like with patience, and like every scene actually had a point. This just feels really big and really loud and really like just like a total clusterfuck, mm-hmm. which I know is like the appeal to certain people. But I like tapped out on this one, I think.
You said something really interesting earlier in that, like, the Showa era movies are not absent of story. And I'm not advocating to completely remove a plot or a story or lore. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Obviously, for any movie, it's going to be important, and especially in a movie that consists of two monsters fighting. It just needs to be simplified by like so much more, because so much of it is like, oh, we're in the hollowed earth, and it's like anti-gravity, and there's like these rocks, and then yeah. There's like portals to the world, and like we need
like
to turn them
off.
Land
of the Lost for 20 minutes for no reason.
It's just like so confusing. And then like we need the girl from Skull Island. She's the prophecy talks about her. She can awake Mothra, and then she has to climb this really steep staircase up to the Mothra and touch the light. Like, I think that story can exist without being this convoluted. When you have every character trying to explain everything, like not just Rebecca Hall, poor Brian Tyree Henry, every single line of his is like, I'm the monster expert, so let me explain why these graphs are like this. And it's just like, we need to go back to basics for a second. Like, honestly, what you need to tell me is this: Scar King wants to take over and Godzilla needs to stop him. That's it. We're done. We're good.
Well, that could have been its own movie. That would have been a kick-ass movie.
It could have been.
Because Scar King is cool. I like the whole anime influence.
Let's talk about things we like. I know we were kind of ripping this movie in the beginning, but...
Well, but, okay, I do... I have one more
thought
that I wanted to get your thoughts on.
Go for it.
I think of the Showa era, it's also like all the movies you feel like kind of exist in their own space. And it's also a bit campy and like fantastical in a way that works tonally. But do you think that American blockbusters are so obsessed with hyper-realism that it kind of impedes on us achieving anything like that? Like, every single thing that happens, it feels like it gets so convoluted because there's this need to like explain it so thoroughly and like relate it to the larger context, because we need everything to be super realistic.
Well said. I mean, I think that's an excellent point to make. It does feel like Western media, it's almost like they trust their audience less. Like, they believe audiences won't buy this, so we need to give them an explanation for everything. And I wonder if that's just like, is it one of those things where they started it and now this is the consequence of it? Like, they have to keep doing it?
Yeah.
You know, if they would have just taken a much more simplified approach of like, Hollowed Earth is Hollowed Earth. Scar King rules there and he's trying to get to the top. Like, we don't need this in-depth explanation to the gravity and the science behind it all, or we don't even need this secret tribe here. Would people be fine with it? Why not? You know, I don't know.
Yeah, they're already letting so much go. So yeah, that's what I think is bogging it down. It's just this need to create this like comprehensive universe, whereas the Showa era films just feel like fun little episodes. Like I think of like, I wish a movie like this was like the Dungeons and Dragons movie. It has its cute little emotional subplot, but mostly it's like this fun adventure, and it works because it doesn't explain every little thing. So yeah, that was just something I was thinking about that I feel like it is just exhausting.
No, that's a really good point. It's a really good point.
The things we like.
Let's talk about things we like.
I have some of those.
I have some of those as well. I do think by time we do get the four monsters in the same earth, room, plane. Let's go with plane. Okay. Once we get all four monsters in the same plane, Shimo, Scar King, Kong, and Godzilla, it does become really fun. Where are they at? Sao Paulo, Brazil? That's not that, right?
Yeah, you're forgetting someone.
Oh, who am I forgetting? Oh, Mini Kong.
Mini Kong.
Who has a name, I think. I don't know who Mini Kong is.
I don't think
though.
He does.
No, he does.
Well, I looked up this article that's like every Titan in Godzilla X Kong, and it's like Kong, Titanus Kong, and then it's just like
No,
baby Kong.
His name is Suko. What's his name?
Oh, Suko.
Suko is the reveal of the adolescent member of Kong species. That is Suko.
Wow, they need to add
the child
to
named
this
Suko shares more characteristics with Scar King, which it, that the Scar King, like they don't go much into the Scar King backstory, but it seems interesting. Like he's like a fascist leader who is forcing all of these other apes to work for him, and basically I don't know exactly what they're doing down there, like what they're working on, but he's treating them like slaves. And he has like Suko or Mini Kong looks like Scar King.
Yeah, he does. Oh, maybe. Well, he did. Scar King's fucked up, dude. Like he had a bunch of like women back there.
The Scar King backstory, surprisingly dark that they don't delve into at all, which I get. But I think if this is a movie that doesn't try to shove all these monsters in our face, maybe a deeper look into the Scar King's backstory and psyche does provide a more entertaining final battle.
I think that's fair. But I liked the whole vibe down there. It was giving very like orc. Like they felt like a little orc pit.
Yes,
like
it does.
The lead orc.
It does, Uruk-hai.
Yeah. But he was cool. And I thought he was a worthy adversary to Kong.
Well, anyways, to go back to what I liked, when they're all there, all five Titans in Brazil,
this
they're
is
fighting.
Like the final battle, right?
The final battle.
Right.
I'm enjoying. And even the battle before that in like the anti-gravity part of Hollowed Earth where they're kind of floating around. That's fun. I am enjoying myself at that point. I think all the scenes where they're fighting is actually really well done. Like, you know, for a movie that's essentially all VFX, they've kind of nailed it. They kind of got it down to a T, to a science. They figured it out.
It does look good. The VFX look really good. I think it sometimes can feel like a little flat, but
well, yeah, color wise, visually, it doesn't look amazing in that.
Yeah,
sense.
Sometimes it looks more fake than other times, and I don't know if I loved the final battle.
Interesting.
But you know what annoyed me about the final battle is that Godzilla did spend half the movie like charging up, and you can't fucking hit anything.
Yeah, he not only can he not hit anything, but when he does hit things, he doesn't feel as like powerful as
Dude,
I assumed he would be.
The world should have exploded. Like, are you kidding? He was already so powerful. This is supposed to be like his supercharge. But yeah, and not only was he missing, and now I guess everyone is quick Bro, enough they aim. Can just like run away.
Yeah,
that bothered me.
You know, for as mighty as Godzilla is, he does feel strangely nerfed. Like he just doesn't feel as strong as he needs to be.
Yeah.
Anyways,
justice for my boy.
I don't mind the final battle. I think it's fun. You know, it is one of those moments where we get Mini Kong throwing the hammer to Kong and Kong getting his revenge on Scar King. It is. I do like that moment. If there's a fight scene I enjoy more, it's probably the first fight scene with Kong where he uses Mini Kong as like a fucking
that
bat.
Was
and beats the shit out of all the other
dude,
apes.
That was fucking insane.
That was probably the moment in the theater that got the most reaction. People were fucking losing their shit, and I thought that was pretty funny.
That is a moment where you kind of know, though, that all logic is out the window. And, and people were talking about scale. Like, they were like, you know, Baby Kong is supposed to be the size that Kong was in Skull Island.
What?
When he was, like, young.
No.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you could not tell.
I could not tell. I mean, that's the problem with that scene and all those scenes in The Hollowed Earth is that Mini Kong just looks like a little kid. Like,
yeah,
I don't know
exactly.
how big he is. Like, I have like no idea how tall he is, but he's supposed to be like, I'm assuming, like you said, like a tall as a building or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. He's big.
I like that scene still. It's fun. I had my fun with that.
I do too.
I think Scar King, the fight with Scar King and Kong the first time they meet is interesting.
Yep.
I'm a fan of that. I like Scar King's like whip little thing that he uses to beat up Kong.
When he laughs at his tooth.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I enjoy the monster interactions like most people. Like I'm not hard to please. I think, I take it all back. Favorite scene is for sure when Godzilla and Kong meet at the pyramids. 1,000%.
Oh, really?
That's the moment where we get like Godzilla spots Kong. Starts like running at him, and Kong is like, no. He's like, hands up.
He puts his hands up. He's like, it's not me.
wait, listen to me. Reminds me of that scene. Remember in that scene in The Punisher where the Punisher's like, wait.
Yeah.
No,
wait. It is. There were so many funny, that I will agree that like the sense of scale, I wish we felt it a little more because it's like, man, dude, the pyramids have been through some shit.
Pyramids have been through shit for sure.
In cinema history. But yeah, before that, we get Godzilla fucking like dolphin diving off a cliff. And then Mothra comes in. She's like, no, don't fight.
No, don't fight, everybody. Yeah.
I love Mothra. But then we get the fucking like suplex and
yes,
Kong.
Yes, the suplex is
Kong
great.
Kong does the thing where he throws sand in Godzilla's face.
No, well, this is why it's my favorite part. It turns into like a bar fight. Like
It is. It's like the WWE. Like.
It's so fun. Sand in the face, fucking suplex. It's just, it's great. It's a great moment.
That's
the stuff I wish we got more of. But it makes me a little disappointed that it took 4 to 5 minutes to an hour for them to link up. Like, I feel like the whole concept that Godzilla needs to charge up, a little silly to me. Like, it didn't feel like it was that necessary. Clearly, at the end, there is no rewards we're reaping from that moment. What about you? What did you like?
What did I like? Well, besides the fighting scenes, I will say that I like the whole thing with like the Iwi people and Kaylee Hoddle's character, Gia, the little girl.
You like that?
I like that whole thing. Like, I like her relationship with Rebecca Hall.
Okay.
And I just think I always am attracted to a cool, like, oh, it's the prophecy, like she's the chosen one or whatever. I thought that was cool. I just wish it was like in a different movie, you know, the movie was about that more.
I think it, her being the kind of chosen one or part of the prophecy is very interesting. It just feels not coherent to what is going on in Godzilla
right.
Kong.
Or I guess I'll say I kind of liked the adventure of kind of like discovering those people and when they find like the like bio shield that they have to go through and they discover this whole new space. And Dan Stevens is fun. He was putting him in this movie was a good move.
That was the best move they could have made.
Yes.
This is Dan Stevens' year. We talked about this on the Patreon
really
a little
is.
Bit.
He's killing it.
This is the Dan Stevens year. We got
He's
this
so
movie,
fun.
Abigail, Cuckoo, Among Us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Among Us.
Huh?
So.
Huh?
What else? I don't want to switch back to negatives, but I do want to comment on this very quickly and get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
I do believe this franchise is becoming the new MCU replacement in the sense that I feel like their treatment of villains and characters mirrors very similarly what we saw in a lot of recent MCU movies in the sense that like we get introduced to this new, very interesting, cool villain. And then they're gone by the end of the movie. And I think that eventually will affect the longevity of this franchise.
Whoa.
Your thoughts?
That's a statement.
It's a statement.
I agree. I mean, it is interesting. Like, I've never really taken stock of any of the quote unquote villains that we've dealt with in this franchise, except for when Godzilla and Kong have been fighting each other.
But isn't say, that like, part of the problem? Like, shouldn't you be able to take stock in some of these, yes, these villains? You know, we get a villain like King Ghidorah, which is arguably the most iconic Godzilla villain, mm-hmm, in his entire lore. And to only have one movie with him in it and then him being gone feels like a bummer. I feel like, and I'm not completely blaming the MCU, but it does feel like if we're not able to keep these villains around for long enough, they lose a lot of sense of danger, and they're far less imposing when you know they'll just be discarded at the end of the movie.
Well, I think it is an interesting issue because you think of like comic books or like some of the animated TV shows, and they're like villains of the week. That's a thing. And they don't always have like crazy development. But I don't actually think it's the same for film. Like, I think that you're right. I think that we need better. I really think it's like not only a writing issue, but we talk about this all the time. It's like we're at the point where it feels like the studio is writing the movie.
Yeah.
There's no time taken. There's no point. Like, you walk out of Godzilla X Kong, what does that movie believe? Mm-hmm. What does Adam Wingard believe? What is he trying to tell us with that movie? Nothing. And so I think that's why I didn't ultimately like it, because when I watch a movie, I want to feel like it has a point. I want to feel like I'm getting something out of it. Uh-huh. Otherwise, I'll just go and like rewatch battle scenes from the other movies, you know? And even so, there's nothing, there honestly was no scene in this film where I was like, I want to like see that again. There, yeah, are a couple in even like Godzilla versus Kong that I'm like, yeah, hell yeah. Like, I would watch that again. So yeah, I feel like I'm not invested in anything that's going on. Well, I totally agree.
I love that comparison in that, like, there's nothing about this movie that people will want to watch again that they can't just look up on YouTube. Right. And that is kind of the state of movies we're in right now for these big blockbusters. If the only thing that you want to rewatch this movie for are their fight scenes, that's ultimately going to be a problem, I think, because you can just go to YouTube and look up Kong versus Scar King, scene one. But if you have no desire to watch the in-between, that's kind of the telltale sign that, like, what is the point? What are we doing then?
Yeah. What do you think then of a lot of people? Obviously, Godzilla Minus One came out really recently, and some people have been saying like it's really cool that both of these films can exist
at the
same time and offer different things.
I mean, it is cool. And I think what you're searching for in Godzilla Minus One, you will not find in Godzilla X Kong and vice versa. I do think that's very cool that we can live in a world of both. But I also believe that movies can be both fun and good. And I think that some people think those are mutually exclusive things.
What?
And I don't agree with that. I know, right?
Huh?
It's true. It's true. I think that a movie can be fun. You can have big monsters fight each other, but it also can be good. And kind of going back to what I said earlier, I'm not asking for the story to be this big allegory for anything important. I just want the story to be less convoluted, more straightforward, and not have all these human characters just be expository scapegoats. Like, just have them be like people. And that's kind of shitty that we can't have that. And I don't, yes, know why more people don't see that. Like, I do understand the argument. It's fun. Turn your brain off, which, sure. But can you not be fun and good?
I think you can be fun and good. And it is really fascinating to me to just see, like, I think this franchise, yeah, the Fast and Furious franchise, how they kind of devolve to this where it's just like noise. Like, it really is just like empty entertainment.
Yeah.
And yeah, I guess it's like a form of escapism that people like. But yeah, it's like, do we want to still kind of be aware, like, okay, I feel like there's not a lot of thought being put into these anymore. And I'm also like paying to see it. So what do I want out of these movies?
Is the Fast and Furious a kind of perfect example of like realizing what works for the audience and then kind of leaning too far into it? And that might be the future of the MonsterVerse. They realize what works People love Kong. People love Godzilla. People like when they fight big monsters. But if they continue to just lean heavily into only that, will people just get tired of it? I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, will people get tired? I don't think they'll stop making money. And that's, you know, money talks. That's really the only metric they're going by at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they don't plan on stopping making them. Adam Wingard, it feels like he has a decent amount of fun directing these.
He was having a good time at the Q&A. That's for sure.
Nice. And
he has plans for another movie. I don't know if I want him to do another one. I'm not that I'm saying like he's a bad director, but I think sometimes the fun in these franchises is giving other directors a chance to give their own spin to it. It's why when James Wan did a Fast and Furious movie, I liked it. It was kind of like a new director giving their new take and their spin on it. And that's sometimes healthy for a franchise.
Yeah, imagine that. Like, isn't that kind of what film is? It's like we've really discredited the idea of like a vision.
Exactly. And I really do hope, again, no shade to Adam Wingard. I think he's a great director. I love a lot of his work. But why not give someone else a chance? Who knows what they can bring to the table? Maybe they do revitalize a franchise that seems to be headed in a direction that will become a little numb over time.
Mm-hmm. Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi Godzilla movie?
I think maybe. Sam Raimi should direct a movie in every franchise.
I don't disagree with that. I watched Darkman for the first time. Movie rips. I liked
Darkman
it a lot.
Rips. It's a lot of fun.
I really liked it. I really liked it. Before we end our conversation on Godzilla X Kong, there will likely be a sequel. There was no post-credit scene to this movie, correct?
I didn't stay.
Oh, okay. They didn't show one at our screening, but I Googled it and it said there wasn't. So I'm hopefully we're not wrong.
Trust that.
But there will be another one, I'm sure. Whether or not it'll be like a Godzilla-only movie or a Kong-only movie, who's to say? But let's say they go more Godzilla this time. Let's go through some Godzilla villains in the lore of Godzilla and see who we would like to see in the next Godzilla movie. Of course, there's King Ghidorah, who is present in King of the Monsters. I think they did him. I think he was great in that movie. It sucks that he was killed in that movie because I think they should be that. This is like the Thanos. We should be having multiple King Ghidorah movies, in my opinion.
Yeah, Ghidorah's scary. And I don't even think he was like fully grown in that movie and they killed him off.
What's with all these like baby monsters growing up?
I think that's cool. It's like,
no,
whoa.
Give me like full grown
baby.
Man Ghidorah, not a baby Ghidorah.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm like, I want to see that. Ghidorah's scary.
Scary. According to this article, commonly regarded as Godzilla's greatest villain ever. Ghidorah has fought Godzilla more than any other villain, with his most recent appearance being in King of the Monsters. So, like, this is it. Why kill him off in one movie?
Bring back Ghidorah.
Do, like, four movies with Ghidorah. I'll watch all of them happily. A villain like this should be present in multiple movies. That's how you make them like scary, man.
At least a couple. Because at some point you got to kind of, I guess the characters are working towards getting rid of it. But like Ghidorah, yeah, I know. It's like such a missed opportunity.
Exactly. Ibira, who did show up in this movie.
Yeah.
He's the little shrimpy lobster guy that fought Godzilla.
His claw get punched.
He was
off.
Cool. Do you want more of the shrimp man?
I'm not a crustacean person, so maybe not.
Okay.
Huh?
We got Ghidorah, who is a giant green monster that kind of looks like a little
like Gizmo.
Cat.
Oh,
okay. Gizmo.
I was gonna say like a little gremlin.
Oh, gremlin.
Yeah, a little cat-like.
Yay or nay on Ghidorah?
Dragon. Sure, he looks fun.
Okay. How about Hedorah, which is a smog monster? He just looks like a bunch of seaweed, but he's really tall.
That's kind of cool.
I kind of dig it. I think we should get more weird with this franchise.
Whoa.
I'm into
it.
Yeah,
I think so too. Sam Raimi.
Okay. Gigan. This is the one that a lot of people are hoping shows up in the next one. Gigan, for those that are listeners, if you don't know, Gigan is like a lizard that looks like Godzilla, but he has big old claw hooks as hands.
Wow.
And like a beak and like horns coming out of his head and tusks. He's like a pretty scary dude.
He's cool as hell.
Gigan would be pretty cool. He's a cyborg alien with hook for
hands. Oh, whoa.
He's the first monster to make Godzilla bleed in the movie Godzilla versus Gigan.
Huh.
All right. Yay or nay on Gigan?
Big yay. I'm curious how he's a cyborg and an alien.
Okay. We got Megalon, who is basically a big beetle with big drills as hands. That is Megalon.
I did view this Showa era film. Megalon is fine. I don't need to see Megalon.
Oh, not a Megalon fan, huh?
No, I mean, you know, I don't hate him.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to see Megalon?
I'm yay a Megalon, yeah. Okay. Again, I think we need to venture into the weird.
Into like a big bug.
I think we need to venture into the unfamiliar. I don't want another ape. I don't want another like Godzilla clone.
Yeah,
I want something
weird. I feel like a lot of them look too much like Godzilla.
Exactly. Give me
fair.
Megalon.
That's fair.
Mechagodzilla we saw in the last
we
one.
Did. Mechagodzilla was cool, actually.
He was fucking dope. Yeah, I liked him a lot.
He was big. Okay. He felt like that felt like a good fight.
I agree. Here's one people really want to happen. Biollante is like a crocodile fused with like a squid, essentially. The lower half is squid. The top half is a crocodile. And all the tentacles have little jaws, little like they're like mouths.
Dude, get Sam Raimi in here.
ASAP.
ASAP.
Dude, Biollante is a new villain that was born from a DNA of a rose, a dead Whoa. Girl, and Godzilla.
Holy shit. Dude.
Pretty fucking dope.
Get Cronenberg in here. What the fuck? That's
Cronenberg's
so cool.
Godzilla versus Biollante. I dig it. Yay or nay on Biollante?
Big yay. I like him.
Space Godzilla is essentially Godzilla, but instead he has big crystals as shoulders. And that's essentially it.
That's it. Honestly, yeah.
Get this one in for the astrology girlies.
He needs to charge his crystals.
Yeah. Space Godzilla is the only Toho villain that Godzilla was never able to beat without help.
Oh.
Interesting.
Let's see it.
Okay. Batra is like a Mothra, but a bat, essentially.
Oh.
I'm not into it.
Yeah, that's fine. You can keep it.
Destroya. This is another big one. Ooh. It's essentially a Godzilla clone, but looks more dragon-like.
He's freaky, actually.
Yeah, he's got a freaky face.
I like him.
Okay. Yay on Godzilla on Destroya,
yeah,
then, huh?
Sure.
I think at this point, like I said several times now, if they're going to keep this series going, they need to keep it fresh. And the way to keep it fresh is to give us the weird.
Give us the weird and like really focus on the monsters. Just I think they need to simplify the story.
Yeah. I don't
and
disagree with that.
And we'd be fine. But I think if you had to pick one from this list, which would you put in the next one?
I think King Ghidorah is really a really interesting character to kind of revisit. I don't know how well they can do it considering they killed him off already. I'm sure from what I understand, there is a mecha King Ghidorah. They could even go that far.
Oh, whoa.
I don't know. If I'm picking one from this list, I think it's between Gigan, the one with the sword hook hands, and Biollante. I think Biollante is like, if you really want to go weird, big, and crazy, that's the direction you go.
Yeah, I'm going. I would pick Biollante. Let's do it.
All right. Prediction on how many movies they make in this franchise. Do they make one more?
The limit does not exist. I think they make at least three more.
Three more? What about four more?
Maybe.
Another one.
Five more?
Another one.
Six more?
Another one.
Whoa. Do you think they get to 10?
Over the next 20 years?
Godzilla X Kong X?
I think eventually. You know, we've talked a lot about movies. If they continue to make a lot of money, there is, like you said, the number does not exist. It is infinite.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Why stop? I have a question for Godzilla X Kong. Who is your favorite Titan in that film?
I'm glad you brought this up because we didn't talk about them quickly going over Tiamat, who is the pink like serpent Hydra thing that was underwater that Godzilla killed to get pink.
Tiamat.
I like that Titan a lot. It kind of sucks that they just quickly brushed through Tiamat real quick.
Yeah. Is it dead?
I don't know. I would assume it's dead. It looked dead.
It did look dead.
Favorite Titan? I mean, I'm a Godzilla stan, but if I'm not picking Godzilla, I'm picking Tiamat. I love Tiamat.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
What about you?
Honestly, I think Shimo.
Shimo?
Yeah.
Bro, Shimo's so fucking boring.
What? Why?
Well, one, Shimo has like no personality compared to Kong, Godzilla, and Scar King. He really does feel... I know Godzilla feels kind of shoehorned in as a cameo. Shimo, to me, feels like, oh no, we need Scar King to have some other way to be powerful. Let's throw in Shimo. I think Shimo's really boring.
I just think Shimo is as close to like a unicorn as we saw in the film. I just thought he was magical. I also thought Shimo was a girl the whole movie. And I think that made me like Shimo more. But then I looked it up and apparently Shimo is a boy. I like his ice power. He was my favorite, besides maybe Baby Kong.
You like Baby Kong that much?
Dude, Baby Kong got shit done. If you pay attention, every time something actually important happened, it was Baby Kong.
Yeah, Baby Kong is the one that got his hammer back to Kong.
This is true. And he destroyed the crystal that controlled Shimo.
Yeah, good
he
point.
He saved Kong's ass more than once. He was used as a human bat.
He was.
I want to see a Baby Kong movie.
I don't doubt that he will not be in the next one. Let's be
he's
honest.
He's
going to
get a spinoff series.
Maybe an Apple TV show featuring Mini Kong. Maybe I think that'll happen.
Mini Kong.
Yeah, Mini Kong's fine. I'm a Godzilla stan first, a Tiamat guy, and then sure, I'll pick Baby Kong. Or I like Kong too. You know, the movie clearly focuses on Kong and the development of Kong. Like right. It really is a Kong movie, for being honest.
It is. Kong really just does. I mean, I don't know if Godzilla will ever get... I feel like we don't know how to develop characters except for making them like fucking, you know, Chris Hemsworth is funny Thor, you know? Like we made Kong funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do with Godzilla, if anything.
I don't know if they will. That's why I have a feeling that if they do a next movie... it won't be a Godzilla-centric movie. It'll either be a Kong-centric movie or a Godzilla x Kong sequel of some sort.
Right, right.
And if they do a Godzilla x Kong sequel, the way it works, I think, the best, one of them has to lose. They both have to lose big time. Something has to happen where they lose. And then at least the next movie prepare us for like a big, big moment, you know?
Kind of like a two-parter.
Give us a two-parter.
I like that. I want to see them down. I want to see the comeback.
All right. Well, that was essentially our breakdown on Godzilla x Kong. What'd you give it on the Letterboxd, by the way?
I gave it a 2 out of 5. Would you give it?
Oh, I gave it a 2.5 out of 5.
Okay, fair.
2.5 out of 5. We're both on the lower end of the scale. If you like Godzilla x Kong, let us know why.
Yeah,
so we
let
can
us
read
know
your
why.
Comments
and, like,
in the next episode.
No judgment.
No, none. Like we said, so many people are really enjoying this movie. People
they are, and I had it. I had fun watching it with my friends.
Yeah. April is here. It's April 1st on the day of this recording. April 2nd is the day this episode will be published. What are you looking forward to in April?
Oh, whoa. I'm glad you asked because I literally just did my April calendar. And I think my most anticipated of April is what? Challengers?
Oh, okay. Let's do this. Let's just do a quick game, you and I.
Okay.
Give me a scale 1 to 10 excitement level out of all of these April releases. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Monkey Man.
Okay, yes. It would be Monkey Man if we hadn't already seen it, but like 10.
I agree. I'm excited to watch it again. Do you have tickets to see it again?
No, I don't.
Wow. All right. Fake fan over here.
But I will.
Fake fan. The First Omen.
Honestly, like, I say I'm at like a 7.
I have been, it's been rising for me.
It's been rising. It's been creeping up.
It was like at a 5. I would say I'm at a solid 7 right now.
Because I've heard some whispers, and also Nell Tiger Free, the main girl, was in Servant, the M. Night Shyamalan show, and I liked her a lot. She's really good.
Okay. Civil War?
Like a 6?
Disclaimer for people, we've seen...
we saw it already.
Yeah, like I get Monkey Man disclaimer. Civil War, there was no disclaimer.
Yeah, we did see Civil War.
Okay.
I give it a 6 for, like, I'm not going to enjoy the discourse.
Oh, God. Neither am I. Shrek 2 re-release, is that happening for you?
Oh, shit. I'm probably not going to do that, but that's exciting.
Brother,
I'm sorry.
Fake fan over here.
I never claimed to be a fucking fan.
This is true. Okay. What about the Fallout TV show on Prime?
I honestly am, well, I like have been really excited. It was ever since you explained Fallout to Claire and I was like, that sounds really interesting. And then yeah. I heard some people kind of like saying it looks bad.
Of course.
So I don't know what to think, but I'm excited. I'm definitely going to watch it. How about you?
I'm in the same boat. Okay. You know, I love Fallout as a video game franchise. I've been playing it for a long time. So mm-hmm. I have a strong emotional connection to the series already. From what I've seen, I like what I've seen. But, you know, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic about any type of video game content revolving around a video game I love. So,
yes, we'll see. Fair.
The greatest hits we saw at South by Southwest.
Yeah, it's cute. They're doing screenings. Oh, no, just kidding. I thought they were doing it in the theater, but I think they're doing virtual screenings. But it'll be on Hulu.
It'll be on Hulu, everybody. Cute. April 12th. People will like it. What else we got going on here? On April 19th, Abigail hits theaters.
Honestly? Wow, you're saying that like you're super pumped.
Are you not?
No, I am. I'd maybe give Abigail also like a 7.
What? Melissa Guerra, Catherine Newton, Dan Stevens.
Yeah. I don't want to get my hopes too high.
Okay. I'm at a strong 8.5. I'm pumped, man. I'm ready.
Wow.
I'm excited. Okay.
I hope you love it.
What about the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
10. No, it's not even a 10. I think it is funny that, what is it? Like, this is Guy Ritchie.
It is a Guy Ritchie.
People are saying it's the second Guy Ritchie movie with like gentlemen in it.
Is it? Oh, yeah, because Gentleman was the other movie was in, yeah. Or The Gentleman. Yeah, it is the Guy Ritchie action movie starring Henry Cavill and Alan Richardson?
Yeah.
Richardson, right? The Jack Reacher?
Richson, yes.
Jack Reacher?
Cary Elwes in it? Cary Elwes.
Henry Golding's in it?
Isaac Gonzalez in it? I'm excited. I mean, you know how much I love Guy Ritchie. I will say this kind of period like action film, because he and Matthew Vaughn, I mean, they like started off working together and they have similar styles. I worry that we're exhausting it a little bit. But I'm excited.
You know, Guy Ritchie to me, even his worst movies, better than most action movies, in my opinion.
Oh yeah. He has sauce. Matthew Vaughn does not have sauce anymore. I don't know what happened. But
Matthew Vaughn does not. But Guy Ritchie has sauce. Cooking. He does. Okay.
So I'd give it 7.58.
Yeah, I'm at a strong 7 for that one.
Okay, nice.
Rebel Moon 2, The Scar Giver.
Man, it makes me sad because I like Zack Snyder and I thought the first hour of the first part of Rebel Moon was actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of it happened and it wasn't good. But I like Sofia Boutella a lot. A 4.5?
Okay. 4? Yeah, I'm like at a 3.5.
Okay. That's fair.
Give me the Snyder cut. We'll talk then.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so annoying. It's like I don't want to watch both of these things and then have to watch it again.
I know. Well, that's why I'm. Yeah. Good point. All right. Anyways, Humane, the new movie from Caitlin Cronenberg, going straight to Shudder end of April. Thoughts?
Honestly, I don't know anything about it, so I'm gonna maybe give it like an 8.
Mm-hmm.
But I see the name Cronenberg and I'm sad.
I'm sad. The description reads, a global environmental collapse forces world leaders to take extreme measures to reduce the Earth's population.
Whoa.
I'm in,
oh,
man.
Oh, that fucks. I'm in. Seeing that like Brendan Cronenberg is like a genuinely good filmmaker.
Yeah.
Sometimes Nepo babies.
Sometimes it's okay.
Sometimes it's okay.
It is. Boy Kills World.
I love Bill Skarsgård so much. I don't know shit about this.
If I'm being honest, I also love Bill Skarsgård. I love action movies. I got a bad feeling about this movie being...
I know people have a bad feeling.
I got a bad feeling, dude. It's giving bad.
I'm kind of like afraid. Like, I'm honestly afraid. And I'm like...
I had a chance to watch it tomorrow, April 2nd, but I passed on it to get some work done instead. And,
not even for something else.
No.
Just to do work.
I am dedicated to this podcast, everybody.
Bro would rather do work than see
Boy
some,
Kills World.
Like, ass. Is this a remake?
I don't know, but it premiered at TIFF, and a lot of people who I trust saw it and did not like it. I'll just say that much.
But Bill Skarsgård, he's popping up everywhere, and I love it.
Yeah.
But it's like this and like the Crow remake, so also I'm like, okay.
All right. That's essentially the roundup for April. I skipped over a couple. I mean, Sting is coming out. We both saw that.
Sting is fine. What about you? What's your Challengers excitement?
Oh, there we go. Challengers. The last one. It's literally the last one. I missed it. Oh, I'm pumped. Challengers, I think, is the movie of the month I'm looking forward to the most.
It is the movie of April. The trailer is so good.
Every time I
see the trailer. Wow.
And Luca, I trust.
The boys kiss.
Apparently the boys kissed.
Apparently. And I heard that and I was like, I did previously think they were brothers.
They're not brothers.
I hadn't seen that much of the promo. And I was like, okay, apparently they are not.
They're not brothers in real life or in the movie. So they kiss. It's totally fine.
So
I'm excited. Luca, I think, is one of my favorite directors working now.
Yes.
Everything he puts out, I'm like always really looking forward to. I think the world doesn't talk enough about Bones and All, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. Based.
Let's talk about Bones and All for a second.
Bones and All is so good. I mean,
good
I think he really is. He's kind of like a Yorgos Lanthimos in a different font to me. Like, I think they're both just doing really cool shit.
I agree with that. I like that assessment.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So, well, that is the April calendar. Let us know in the Spotify Q&A what movie you're looking forward to the most in April.
Some good ones.
That way we ensure we talk about it on the podcast. Other than that, Patreon, things are popping off over there. April is Rotten Horror Month. We're talking about Final Destination. We're talking about Devil, Troll 2, and Event Horizon on the
Let's
Patreon.
Go.
I'll also be talking about a lot of things with Clara and Ready Player One, New Moon, some other movies that are a little bit of a secret but are exciting.
Ooh.
That I can't announce just yet. Far From Home, that is not a secret. We're talking about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh my gosh. The
lot
best
of things.
Tom Holland Spider-Man movie.
Huh?
I was like, I finally broke him.
What does this button do again? Oh yeah, we should play this one.
My favorite one.
We do not care.
That's how I feel when people tell me Far From Home is the best Tom Holland Spider-Man.
Whatever.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We hope you have a wonderful day, night, week, and weekend. And we will see you guys next time.
Goodbye, listeners.